reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, because I was away this week, I did want to prepare before I went away. So I just want you to know there's no plagiarism in this. But I thought Dave's message last Sunday was brilliant this morning, but last Sunday morning's message pre-Valentine's really set out God's love in such a wonderful way. And I had it in my own mind and heart to look at the love of God over the next couple of weeks. And so I'm going to do that anyway, because I don't think we can comprehend and overlook the love of God in Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 of Paul's prayer that being rooted and established in love, the believers may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Well, I want to look at that description over 2 weeks. Tonight I want to look at the height and depth of the love of Christ, and then, God willing, next week, the width and the length. And of course, it's aided by the fact that we can come to the Lord's table this evening in this way. Last Wednesday was Valentine's Day, and before I left you for my brief holiday away, if you were with us Sunday morning, I showed you in my little black box a Valentine's Day card, and we considered how God's word is a love letter to us. It's our Valentine's Day card in all that God says. I think the intriguing thing last Wednesday was it was not just Valentine's Day, it was also Ash Wednesday, a merging of the two. And with Ash Wednesday begins the 40-day countdown, as it were, to Easter.
the demonstration of love beyond degree. You know, there will have been all sorts of demonstrations of love on Wednesday with chocolates, cards, flowers, I don't know, marriage proposals from on the Eiffel Tower or you know, wherever. And love is in the air, so the song says, and all the rest of it. But behind anything that man knows of love is God's love. A love expressed perfectly, ultimately, in the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. You know, to be loved is important, isn't it? To be loved is important. To know the love of God, that is vital. To know that love. Sometimes to know that love keeps us going when it seems the world is a loveless place and perhaps even our own relationships with others are struggling. But to know the love of God is so vital. Paul was so keen that the Ephesians and the leaders particularly should know that love for themselves. To know the scale of that love. To look beyond what they know and to see the extraordinary love of God. I think it's interesting how Paul uses the words, even within the text, how he speaks of wide and long and high and deep, because that ultimately would make a cross, wouldn't it? The height and the depth and the width and the length. It would make a cross. It would remind them again of the heart of their faith, the cross and the price that has been paid for our salvation. The cross is a timeless marker of God's love. And so we can rejoice in the Lord and we can rejoice always in the Lord because of his love towards us as we focus on Calvary. Two things this evening then, the height of God's love in Christ and the depth of God's love in Christ. And then a final thought about knowing the height and depth. And what difference does it make to know the height and the depth? Is it just some sort of mental acknowledgement that we say, oh wow, that's beyond anything that can be measured? No, we want to know it or know something of it in our personal lives and experience. God is love, 1 John 4:16. God is loving by nature. Everything God does, he does in love. The facets of God's character are perfectly cut, the light shining through each one. His love is a holy love. His love is a just and righteous love. Everything has love, the love of God, the mark of his love upon it. The height of God's love, I would like to start as high as we can go, experienced in heaven. Remember God the Father's words to God the Son. This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We worship one God in three persons, and there is perfect harmony in heaven. When we talk about what heaven is like, and we can have all sorts of discussions and everything else, but be sure of this, there's no sin, there's no division, there's no... The image of God is perfect in all who are there. A perfect reflection of that love. Perfect harmony in heaven. The Godhead enjoy perfect relationship and love. God the Son in love and obedience, a demonstration of that love, came to us from heaven. Lived in perfect unity and love on earth with the Father. Didn't go off and do his own thing. Did exactly what the Father asked him to do. Went where the Father sent him to go. Said what the Father instructed him to say. There was perfect dependency, a perfect love. Every action, every word
was delivered to glorify the Father. God's love is pure and perfect. It's really beyond comprehension because it's without agenda, unlike much that passes for love on earth. You know, even some of the great philanthropic actions, behind them there's kind of, well, it was done so that somebody could make a name for themselves. There's always something attached to it, an agenda. But the height of God's love in its perfection, in its purity, that agape love, it's without agenda. We love because he first loved us. But our love, of course, is a poor copy of his love. Because his is a love above all loves. John in 1 John 4 again says, love comes from God. He's the source, the height from which love flows out into our world. You know, over the last couple of weeks, as we've done that spiritual health check in Bible study, one of the things we've been looking at is looking forward to heaven. Not in some sort of, you know, I'm going to die tomorrow macabre way, but looking forward to being part of that new creation with the world and the love of Christ and a love for God in it like you cannot see. Even the best meetings, the best on fire, passionate Christians all together. We say sometimes it's a taste of heaven. Well, a little bit perhaps, but because of sin and because of other things, it's always going to be earthbound. But to be longing for that new creation, longing for heaven and the love, the perfect love in Christ. It's beyond us, but this is the height of God's love, experienced in heaven, but not just experienced in heaven, expressed in his loving care for us. For great is your love, says Psalm 57, reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the sky. God's love is expressed in his faithfulness. Every second, every breath, in how everything works and holds together, every atom, it's all held by his love, his loving care, so that things don't all just fall apart. What was experienced in heaven has been expressed in his creation, and we're part of it. And sometimes we do have to just stop and stare, or stop and just ponder the love of God in his creation. So often, of course, because of sin, it's marred, it's broken. But that love is expressed in God's faithfulness, giving us each day, giving us each moment, giving us that breath, giving us everything. But as well as that overriding general sense of his care, it's expressed in his loving discipline as well, isn't it? Most of you know, some of you don't know, I don't think Dave, you know actually, I'm going to be a granddad later in the year. I've noticed some unruly children now. I've started looking at parenting again. You grow out of it, don't you? Your children grow up. And you kind of, for a while, you have a little sort of window where there's none of that. You know, the little sort of rugrat stage of children. It doesn't affect you, apart from when you're in public places and you're looking at somebody else with a child that seems out of control. Well, it's obviously going to come full circle again for us as grandparents. So many seem reluctant to discipline their children, sadly, today. So many
only paying half or less than half attention to their child, more concerned with what's on their phone or what they're doing, and the child's getting it going worse and worse. But God disciplines those he loves. God's parental love is seen in what he provides, yes, but also in how he develops his children too. Remember what it says in Hebrews 12. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So different from the way the world looks at things with love. They will put and give so much. Give, but not give the correction, not give the discipline. But God knows, because his love is of such purity and height, greatness. So high is his love morally, if you want to put it that way, that he knows how to discipline his children in the best way, to bring out the best, to refine, to mould and to make us. Now, of course, we don't always comprehend this, do we? We don't appreciate it. I mean, which child appreciates being disciplined? It seems when they're being told not to, that you're just spoiling the fun. You're just reining them in, literally, when they're so small. But you're keeping them from danger. You're keeping them from what they cannot comprehend that might be about to happen to them. God knows, God sees all things, doesn't he? He sees you, he sees me, and he still loves us. He sees you, he sees me, and he disciplines us because he loves us. We should never doubt that love. It's beyond us. His ways are beyond our ways. But just because you can't see the top of a mountain when shrouded in cloud doesn't mean that the top of the mountain is not there. It is there. You know it's there. Though it cannot be seen as clearly as you would like. The height of God's love in Christ. Immeasurable. So high, so great. But what of the depth? What of the depth? Well, as we come to the table, we'll be thinking of where that love flowed from and where it flowed to. From Calvary, where it flows to you and to me. Such pure and perfect love was not kept secure in some glass case in heaven, but has been expressed on earth in Jesus. I was thinking of those verses in Philippians 2. You know them well. How Jesus humbled himself. How he came amongst us as a servant. In love. In love. He didn't consider equality something to be grasped. That's so different to people today, isn't it? People's rights. I've got to have it my way. No, in love, he didn't consider equality something to be grasped. In love, making himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. I said this morning, those who were with us, to the children. They're in the selfie society, the selfie generation. It's all about looking good. It's all about, look at me. But our Lord didn't do it that way. He came and gave his life for us. In love, became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Not selfie love, but selfless love. Sacrificial love. This is love. God sent his Son and as an atoning sacrifice for sin. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. The height and the greatness of this love but it was laid down to the depths. Even to death itself. Death on a cross. Peter writes that love covers over a multitude of sins. Surely reflecting upon Calvary. Reflecting upon how Jesus' love covered and cleansed us from our sins. The depth of God's love in Christ has been expressed on earth in those years of ministry, in his death for us at Calvary. But he goes on expressing that love to us right where we are. And David made this point a week last Sunday, that, you know, yeah, there's a height to his love, but it's not a love out of reach. It's a love that reaches down into the very depths, to the lowest of the low moments. His love is there for us. After all, it comes to our hearts, doesn't it? God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. When we think of the Holy Spirit, often we're thinking power. God has given us power, and he has. But by the same Spirit, he's poured out his love into our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit as well. So like a water fountain cascading down, so God's love flowed from Calvary to every heart of every believer, to your heart tonight. And that love is to flow from our hearts into our needy world. You know, thinking of the water cascading down, water finds the lowest point, doesn't it? Always. Sadly, if you've ever had a flood, you'll know that. It always finds you. How's it got down here? It's in everywhere. It finds its way to the lowest point. Well, take that as a picture of God's love in Christ. It flows, and it flows down. And that's why we have hope for this world, however depraved things are, however much rejection of God there is. By the grace of God, his love continues to flow down. When you think of the organisations that are in our world to help people in need, whether it be hospitals or hospices, food banks in more recent days, who's behind it all? It's the believer, isn't it? Whose hearts are moved. Whose hearts are filled with the love of God in Christ to overflow that love into their society, into their world. The depth of God's love in Christ. Again, it's immeasurable. Who can plumb the depths? It found me. It found you, didn't it? It found so many who can bear testimony to being right down their lowest points. The love of God has a height to it, of course. A moral beauty, a perfection. But it gets right down into the grubby and the grimy to rescue, to save. But what about knowing this? If you're nodding now, you're just thinking, yeah, that's right. Okay, I don't disagree. But what difference does it make? What difference is it going to make this week to know such a thing? Is it just going to be put a box and a tick? Yeah, I knew that, and I know that as well. No, to know it in life situations. Paul wants the Ephesian leaders to know this love, to spur them on in the work. When they hit the barriers, when they hit the problems and the troubles that the early church faced, that every generation of church faces, the love of Christ is vital, isn't it? To know and to rely upon that love. Well, I think with the height, There are many things that could be said, but I just want to say this. There is the security of knowing the height of God's love. God is love, and he has your best interests at heart because he loves you. In giving his son for you and to you, can you doubt his love and commitment to you? Remember Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? To give us its most precious gift, then anything else that's needed, well, nothing else is needed other than Christ, but anything else is a smaller gift than this big, great gift of his love in Christ. Such commitment and love bring stability and security. That's what our society needs to know. They need to know the love of God in Christ. And then through that love, to know love in relationships, and that will build up the community. But unfortunately, without that love in Christ, the love without it is tearing people apart. As we've already seen, God's love and faithfulness go together. Just read through the Psalms, just see again and again. Inseparable. Two sides of the same coin, really. God is love and God is faithful because he's love. He's faithful in love, and from that love he's faithful. And so you cannot break the cycle. So we can trust every word he says and every promise he makes. His ways may be higher than our ways, but they are pure and perfect, loving ways. He has the best interest for his children. His love is an unchangeable love. Its height makes it unique, incomparable. And so we can rest secure in it. He didn't love us more once than he does now. It doesn't fluctuate after a good week or a bad week. He loves me, he loves me not. None of that. He loves us with an unchangeable love. So the security in knowing the height of his love. And there's comfort in knowing the depth. As the water from the spring reaches the depths of the sea, so God's love flows. God has manifest his love. He's shown us. He hasn't just said he loves us. He's demonstrated that love for us. After all, if I say I love you, or you say you love me, but we never show that love in any way, over time we'll begin to doubt that love. It just becomes empty words. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth, John says. And God in Christ has done that for us. He didn't just say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He has sent his Son to make everlasting life and that love in that life possible. God says, yes, he loves us, but Jesus has shown that he loves us. And when you think of Jesus' ministry, when you think of the gospel accounts, Jesus ministered to the ostracized, didn't he? To the ignored on so many occasions. Yes, there were important people too, but there were so many that were, well, nameless individuals that others walked past, others told to shut up, others told to sit down, and all the rest of it, but not Jesus. He ministered. He ministered to the sinners. Yes, he had words for the Pharisees, but it was the sinners that he gathered to himself. Whatever our plight, however low we have become, God's love will and can reach us right where we are. What a comfort that is to know. What a comfort to know that his love is accessible. Of course, the only barrier to anything is sin. And if that barrier has been removed, if we've confessed our sin, opened our hearts to him, then that love comes afresh, flows out to us. Maybe even tonight as we eat from the table and drink together from the cup. When sin is confessed, God's love can be known and a relationship of love restored. That's how it began for us as believers. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus, that's how it continues to work out to us. To know this love. Many of us, I include myself in this, have walked with the Lord for a number of years. And we know his love. But we need to know it afresh, don't we? Love can get very stale very quickly. To know this love. To realize its height. To marvel. The purity and the perfection. The holiness. Holy love. And then to realize how it goes from such a height to such a depth to where I am, where you are. His love is the greatest, its height immeasurable. His love is the greatest, its depth immeasurable. No wonder Paul says, it's a love we cannot fully comprehend. It's off the scale at both ends, height and depth. But to know this love is to be able to go into this week to survive, more than that, to prosper in the security of our relationship with the Lord and the comfort that his love brings. May that be our experience individually and together in Christ.